Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Rash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
You think the rejection of religious claims means that we're all immune to bias or bad ideas or logical fallacies or irrationality? Oh, if that were true, right? And yet we are all imperfect humans, and often we are imperfect thinkers. We can all be guilty of using poor arguments or generalizations, things like the moral equivalence fallacy or arguments from authority or straw men, binary thinking. We can be just as guilty sometimes, and understanding this and then using logic to help stay on course is vital if we're going to be effective out there in knowing and changing minds, including our own. Well, Dr. Stephen Gimbel has a lecture series. It's called An Introduction to Formal Logic at the Great Courses Plus. It's a fantastic resource for shoring up our thinking, fine-tuning our reason, and navigating our often biased brain. The Great Courses Plus has brought so much benefit into my life and the lives of so many other people. Over 9,000 lectures to choose from on everything from history to science to travel to the arts and more. You can watch videos on your smartphone, TV, tablet, or laptop, or listen like a podcast with the Great Courses app. And right now, take advantage of this fantastic streaming service with a special limited time offer. One free and full month of unlimited access to all of their lectures when you use my special URL. So start your free month right now. You're going to love it. Sign up at thegreatcoursesplus.com/Seth. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/Seth. This is the audio of my presentation, kind of a live audience podcast, at the American Atheist National Convention, which took place March the 29th through April the 1st, Easter weekend, at the downtown Sheraton Hotel in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And it was big fun. It was such a good time. The podcast I did there on stage is a lot like what I often do here on just the regular radio show. Do kind of a monologue, and then I'll take audience questions and comments after that. Now, there's a video version. I'm referring to slides for the first 20 to 25 minutes. The video YouTube version is in the description box of this show. But I think, honestly, it translates pretty well to radio. So if you'd like to just listen, sit back, crank it up, and enjoy. This is the Thinking Atheist Podcast, recorded March the 30th, 2018, at the American Atheist National Convention. Thank you so much for that unscripted, unplanned, unprovoked, unrequested burst of applause. It's so amazing to be here in my home state of Oklahoma, an atheist today. I said in my autobiography, I said, you know, in Oklahoma, you normally see two things. You see tornadoes and churches, and the tornadoes are easier to escape. That's how normally I say it. That you would spend part of your lunch hour with me, thank you. I'm so glad you're here. And I want to say thanks to American Atheists for allowing me the privilege and honor of being a part of today, okay? So, my friends, in 12 days, I'm turning 50, okay? No, don't clap. You'll encourage it, right? You'll bend space and time, and you'll make it appear sooner. It's funny, just out of morbid curiosity, I downloaded one of those aging apps to my smartphone. Have you seen those? You take a photograph, and you do an aging app to see how you'll look in 20, 30 years. And check this out. That's harsh, man. That is harsh.
I look at the wrinkles and the age spots and that kind of old curmudgeon that's featured in the photograph, and my first thought, you know, it's not a big leap from that to Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, you know, just this nasty old mean guy that says, get off my lawn. That kind of guy. Has the mid-century mark caused me to stop and reflect? Well, yes, it has. And for that reason, the first part of the monologue is going to be, unfortunately, necessarily a little bit self-indulgent, because I want to reflect a little bit about my own life, which means talking a little bit about myself, and then I'm going to sort of springboard off of that. So if you'll take the journey with me, I do have a destination. You know, when I look back across the decades at my younger self, you know, I just want to shake him. Right? I was a very religious guy, and I was always in motion. I just want to grab the young me and say, dude, what's your hurry? Like, what's the hurry? Here, there, up, down, go, go, go. Never stop. Always in motion. Can't wait. I have a couple of greats. Natalie's children or my stepkids, they're like my own children, 20 and 23. And I watch them and I'm like, they're amazing. You know, they go to a job and then we're going to catch a midnight movie and then we're going to go to a friend's house. Then we're going to get in a car and go to another friend's house. And then we're going to sleep for 30 minutes. And then we're going to go here. We're going to do a concert at Red Rocks. We're going to drive all these hours and we're going to have that. And we're going to come back. And I'm just, I'm just blown away by it. And as I watch these young 20-somethings just going here, there, I utter what has become sort of the slogan of my life, which is, y'all have fun. Right? Y'all have a good time. Drive safe, buckle up, all right? Go easy. Come home safely, we'll see you soon. That's been my motto as of late. More proof that I'm getting older. Every day, it's like a science fair experiment looking in the bathroom mirror. You know? It's an experiment in being less young. Like, I don't feel old, I'm just less young. You see these lenses? These are called progressive. Anybody know what progressive means? Trifocal. I have to wear trifocal glasses. I still love pizza. But pizza is now a whole cost-benefit discussion. You having pizza? Oh, I'd love it. How many? Oh. How spicy is it? What time of the day is it? How much of it's going to end up locked against my belt line? That kind of thing. And this is my idea of a good day right here. Sit back. Kick it back. I'm slowing down. I mean, as much as I try to prevent it, at the age of almost 50, the day's coming up on the 12th of April, at almost 50, I mean, I like my music softer. I like to just lounge around in my pajamas. I look forward to an uneventful evening, don't you? Oh, a nice uneventful time. And life really starts to become more about the little things than the big things. I saw something online made me chuckle. It was a play on the old Folgers commercial that said, you know, Folgers got it wrong. The best part of waking up is going back to bed after you pee. Yes, the best part of waking up is going to bed after you buy. Another funny observation about getting older, I thought was great. Said it's kind of funny how when you get older, you miss the things you hated as a child, like naps and getting spanked. But I have no further comment on that. I don't have an Instagram. I don't Snapchat. And while I use social media, I'm on Facebook every freaking day. I've been informed by Generation Z, rather, that Facebook is for old people. And maybe I have it coming, right? Every freaking year, we'll watch part of the Grammy Awards, and I have to ask somebody in the room who's 20 years younger than me 3 or 4 times, who's that? What do they sing? Oh, have I heard that? What station's it on? It's happening. I play video games occasionally for fun. I'm not great at it. Started a Twitch channel. When people ask me about video games, I think of the old Atari 2600. It had a joystick with one button. I can keep up with one button. I watch and enjoy documentaries. I will watch a documentary about anything. I saw one recently. It was about the rise of ISIS. I saw one about Kim Jong-un and the impression of North Korea. There was a great one on HBO with Anderson Cooper and his mother, Gloria Vanderbilt. Watch the whole thing. A compelling. It's a great documentary about Carol Spinney, the puppeteer for Big Bird. It's called I Am Big Bird. It's fascinating. It's such a good movie. It's such a good documentary. I don't really drink. And yet I've seen twice a documentary on master sommeliers, wine experts. It's called Somm on Netflix. I watch it every time. Somm. I love documentaries. I've been informed that my forehead is actually a five head. Like extra sunscreen. Has to go up there all of a sudden. What happened? People are very sweet, though, when we talk about it. It's like the old line where they say, you know, don't think of it as losing hair. My friend, think of it as gaining face. Beginning of this year, I was walking upstairs and I heard a horrible sound under my right kneecap. It sounded like gravel under there, a grinding sound. Natalie, do you hear that? Yeah. Oh, my God. What do you think that is? I don't know. So I call the doctor, have him check me out. We do the x-ray. He walks back in without blinking an eye, tells me what it is. He said, oh, it's arthritis. No. No. No, it's not. It's not arthritis. I'm not even 50. It's not arthritis. It's something else. The breakdown of cartilage so the bone rubs against bone, specifically osteoarthritis. Shit, I have arthritis. Decades ago, I would have thought this impossible. But then if you look at my life right now, if you look where I'm standing right now, there's so much about my life I would have once considered impossible. I mean, I'm speaking at the American Atheist National Convention. If you'd have told me when I was a true blue, dyed-in-the-wool, Jesus-loving broadcaster, that I would one day be here, I'd say, no, it's impossible. That's never supposed to happen. My whole life at midlife is really something that was never supposed to happen. Just ask my parents, okay? Now, when you're a child, especially a child in a fundamentalist upbringing, a fundamentalist religious upbringing, a Christian culture, you are told by your parents, you can grow up to be anything you want to be in this world. This is what we tell children. Parents are like, you can be anything you want to be in this world if you commit yourself. And then they commit themselves completely to limiting our options. Okay, I want to be this. I don't know. No. I'd like to do that. No. I was in third grade at Sandberg Elementary School, a public school. I went home and told my folks what we'd learned about Neanderthal man. You know what's not in the book of Genesis? Neanderthal man. And within a blink of an eye, I was in private Christian school, right? Because I could have grown up to be an expert. I could have grown up to be an anthropologist or an archaeologist, a paleontologist. I could have done anything. But no. Let's limit the options and let's put them in this little pod. All right? You can be whatever you want as long as it's this. And if you don't, the often damaging message is that, well, you just screwed up your life, kid. You blew it. You're worthless, or your life has been wasted, or you're bad, or you're bringing a shame. I've heard a lot of these in my own. Not that I'm worthless, but that you're an embarrassment to the family. This is not how we raised you. Those kind of things. Well, how did they raise me? If I can, my friends, and again, I know this is a bit self-indulgent, but take the journey with me. Back to my fourth grade year at Temple Christian School. That is me. Hair parted perfectly on the side and a collared white shirt with a necktie on because it was photo day. But this is also how we dressed for Chapel Wednesday. They had a church service every Wednesday. Now, if you'll notice on the necktie, it may be difficult to see. There are American flags all over the tie. Yep. And that's because of the direct link that Christian cultures have between God and country. We are a Christian nation, in God we trust. This nation belongs to Christians. We see it quite a bit, especially now in the state of Florida after Parkland. It's tragic. And I had Christianity everywhere. Christian school, Christian lessons, Christian prayers, Christian chapel services, Christian pledges. You've heard of the pledge to the American flag. You may not know that there's also a pledge to the Christian flag. Now, we said this in my youth, and I can still recite it. We would stand up every day. Every day as young children, we put our hands over our hearts and say, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified, risen, and coming again to give life and liberty to all who believe. It's been decades, and I still remember it. Tell me that it's not effective to get them while they're young. But we still weren't finished, because after we pledged our allegiance to the Bible, or after we pledged our allegiance to the Christian flag, we pledged our allegiance to the Bible. And there's a pledge for that. Guy would hold the Bible out, one hand over, one hand under, and say, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide its words in my heart, that I might not stand against God. I'll remember it till the day I die. Fourth grade, do you think I had any idea what an allegiance is? I mean, what's an allegiance? I don't know. But we were taught to recite it and make the pledge and make that promise and dedicate our lives. I pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance. I can grow up to be whatever I want to be as long as it's this. I remember Christian school. Oh, yeah. And it was like that. Bible lessons, chapel services, prayer before every class. You know, Seth did such a good job on his memory verse. He's such a good son. He participated in chapel. He's a student leader. He's such a good son. He got an A on his New Testament exam. He's such a good son. We're so very proud. He's such a good son. Let's transport forward to my high school graduation. Look at this kid. Look at all that hair. Look at that skin. I mean, I'm like, oh, to go back 30 years. Oh. Not a blemish in sight. I don't think it's just the soft focus. I really do think. I was just lucky, you know.
It's like Joel Osteen.
It looks like Joel Osteen. That's better than the other one I've usually heard, which is Bob Saget. I'll take Joel Osteen over that. This was Joel Osteen, I'd be up here promising you blessings from on high, and then I'd have a plate already circulating every single row. But I mean, think about me, a product of this fundamentalist home, surrounded in affirmation, student council leader, Youth for Christ. I loved Christian music. I knew all the lyrics, went to all the concerts. We prayed Christian prayers before every meal. We had Christianity reinforced all the time. And so as I enter adulthood, I could be anything I want to be. It was a natural progression for me in the year 1990 to start in Christian radio, which I thought was amazing. My parents could not have been prouder. I mean, imagine, he's a minister of the gospel. He's playing music about our faith. He's a known quantity. He's kind of a mini celebrity in our hometown. They could not have been prouder. This is me about 10 years after that. Morning show host for KXOJ 100.9 FM. We played Christian music, and I happened to join the radio station at the time when Christian music was really starting to flourish. At the time, the fastest growing format, radio format in the country by far. We played Amy Grant, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Michael W. Smith, those kind of things. And it was, I honestly felt that so assured, like, you know, wow, this is really serendipitous that I've got this job and I'm ministering the gospel and I'm doing the right things, blah, 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 just reinforcement. Now, I was an able young man with a gift for communication, and so this career made sense. I'd grown up to be whatever I wanted, but if you've noticed, they'd narrowed my options. And so I was able to be what I wanted within a very narrow spectrum. And this is quite often the way children are raised. Many of you in this room, I know, have lived this. And if it's not religiously, maybe it's politically. You vote differently than your mother and father. This is not how we raised you. If you choose a life partner or love someone they don't approve of, they say, this is not how we raised you. If you declare that you no longer believe the religion of your family and culture, they look at you like they failed as a parent. You failed and they failed. And they say, this is not how we raised you. Yeah, you could be whatever you want as long as it's this. I was the epitome of that Alejandro Jodorowsky quote, that says, birds born in a cage think flying is an illness. Why leave when you've already arrived? Why look outside when everything is already here and it's packed and it's simple? I had the answer with a capital A. It would take more than a decade after this radio photo was taken in the 90s before I would discover the world outside the cage. I was in my late 30s and I finally started to grow up and to explore who I was. Who am I? What do I think about things? Not what does this book think or what does this dogma say or what do my parents expect me to believe, but what do I think about things? And I finally realized and gained the courage to explore who I really was. And it was thanks to the encouragement of other people who had walked some of the same steps. This is a current photo of me, right here. I am the black sheep of the family, you know. And if you ask my father what any of his children do, he'll proudly give the answer, unless that child is me. And then he gives you that look, which is Clint Eastwood from Gran Torino again. And I'm surrounded by the platitudes. You know what? One day I know you're going to come to the light and you're going to see Jesus. I'm praying for you. Anybody hear this one? I pray for you daily. I'm praying for you. I'm going to pray for you. I pray for you, which is in many cases an honestly sincere sort of it's a desire to help because of how they have been religiously brainwashed. And in some cases, they're saying, God, please help that terribly stupid atheist realize how right I am about everything. Amen. Right? And then they say the most hurtful things to people in love. You're living wrong. I say this in love. You're an embarrassment. I say this in love. You know, you're damaging the reputation of the family line. I say this in love because I care about you. We failed as parents. You're a failure as a son. Why can't you just be quiet about your atheism? Why can't you just keep that to yourself? I mean, why do you have to be so vocal about it? Essentially, most of it comes down to, it reminds me of that scene in Game of Thrones, right? Most of it comes down to shame. Ding. Any Game of Thrones fans? Okay. I knew I liked you guys. I'm almost 50. Almost 50. My parents and I really don't even speak. It's interesting, though, they do send me one religious Christmas card every single year. It's overtly, hugely religious. It's got verses, and unto us a child is born, and Jesus is the reason, the only reason for the season. We love you and whatnot. It's always interesting to see those, because the underlying message, quite frankly, is congratulations on your blood pact with Satan. Right? It's all very passive-aggressive. Look, I had to draw a boundary in my life, or I chose to draw. I still don't even know if it's the right move, but I just got tired of other people telling me who I am. So I'm going to be 50, and I'm in this weird place where I sort of, a few years ago, 10 years ago, sort of introduced me to myself. Hi, you know? Hey, let's go and find out what we think, not what we're expected to think. And then all the dominoes started to fall once I released my belief in the Bible and got over my fear of hell, which took a couple of years. Everything else started to fall away. I changed my position on so much. Gay marriage was one of the first. The death penalty, totally reversed. I used to be totally Old Testament about the death penalty. I used to be a Fox News Christian, you know, back then. I was that guy. Rush Limbaugh listening, Michael Savage listening, Ann Coulter reading, Fox News Christian. You know, and everything started to fall away. And I saw myself in many ways as a different person. Certainly a different person than what they expected. This is not how we raised you. This is not how we raised you. You're not doing it right. You're not fitting in. You're not blending in with us. You're not reaffirming us everywhere you go. You're different. You're just too different. I hear that quite a bit. Has anybody else heard that and can relate to that in this room? Bunch of you. Okay. And I really wish that just for a second my parents could peek through some of these other doors with me and see what I'm seeing. Like if I said, hey, would you like to come to the American Atheist National Convention? I mean, you might as well. They'd be out front with garlic and torches and, you know, priests and whatnot, probably dragging a big cross around the perimeter of the block. I mean, I don't know what they... I'm exaggerating. But, I mean, they would see only the label. They would not see you. They would not see you, the human beings, the people who love life and want to help other people and just want to do the right thing and want to defeat bad ideas and promote good ideas and want to connect and feel the privilege of being alive. They don't see that. There's so much more out there. I really wish they could just look outside the cage with me for just a few and just explore such an amazing and better, much larger world. I discovered a world where I was not born broken with a sin nature worthy of hell. I discovered a world where I didn't waste this life waiting on the next life, where love was a beautiful expression of humanity that we can do on our own terms. It wasn't a divine edict under threat. It was okay to doubt. Hell, I was encouraged to doubt and discover and make every day an exercise in curiosity, where I could live on my own terms, love on my own terms, and explore and learn on my own terms. And anytime, anywhere, I could open any door I choose. Now, why would I want to go back? Has anyone ever asked you that question? Hey, if you could go back to the Matrix, when things were easier, wouldn't you like to just plug back in when everybody's not shaming you, when it's not controversial, when you put a conference billboard up in the city in which the conference is being held? You know, I mean, how crazy is that? You know, would you ever want to go back? Let me ask you, would you ever go back?
No!
Hell no! No way would I want to go back. You know, I look at my life today as I'm certainly a little older and a little less agile, but I'm just struck by the wonder of it all. And so many people never break out of the cage. They never get the chance to really tap on the glass and see what else might be out there and to discover the world that they have discovered. And so here at this age, I've never been more comfortable in my own skin. I've never felt more like me. I've never felt like I didn't have to jam the square peg of religion into the round hole of reality. I get to make every day an honest discovery based on merit. I'm more aware of the world around me. I'm less prejudiced about other people. I'm more accepting. I'm happier. I have more purpose now that it's self-generated purpose than I ever had when it was handed down to me from on high. Why in the world would I ever want to go back when I'm so thankful to be alive? And so if anyone asks me how I spend the occasion of my 50th birthday, you know, I'll tell them I spend it the best way I could think of. You know, I spend it free of my cage. And I work every day to try to encourage other people to look outside the cage and set themselves free. And as I look out of all of you, I'm profoundly grateful for who you are. You talk about goodness. I've seen more goodness in the last 12 hours just being here. And people who are just genuinely good. We were at breakfast. Natalie and I were at breakfast this morning. And it was cold in the restaurant. Natalie was shivering and she left her jacket upstairs. And a woman named Belinda was sitting just 10 feet from us. And she had just bought a sweatshirt at one of the tables. And she came over and said, "Here." And so Natalie puts the sweatshirt on. And, you know, she didn't have any reason to do that. She just did it because it felt good, because it was humans helping humans. What's interesting is Natalie's not an atheist, but the shirt said, "This atheist votes." I thought that was awesome. I was trying to get pictures. And I was, skeep, 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 skeep. When I'm at the table, I had a woman come up, and she was a fresh apostate. You know, she'd just come out, and she needed to be reminded she wasn't alone. She broke into tears, and we just hugged. You know, it was crazy. It was just like this connection between two people who'd never met. There are people here from all over the United States, maybe out of the country. And yet when we come here, we support each other. We are family. I don't have a great relationship with my folks. Let me just tell you a quick anecdote if I can. One more demonstration of what I see every day and I try to communicate every day. I was in Wichita, Kansas. I think this was 2 years ago and I was up there, and a woman named Brenda apparently is familiar with my situation and the fact that things, you know, I go home for the holidays, but we don't have a great relationship. And she walked up and she said, she looked me right in the eye and she said, "If I was your mother, I would be so very proud." And we both cried and we hugged and we had this moment. I thought, what an amazing gift. No gods, no dogma, no superstition, no magic, no nonsense, no threats, no shame, no guilt. Just humanity, just human beings helping people. Would I want to go back? No. You know what? I'm going to be 50 in just a few days, and I spent this day the best way I know how. I'm spending it among friends. Thank you all very much.
Short break. When I come back, we'll hear the audience question and comment portion of the broadcast, which again was recorded at the downtown Sheraton Hotel in Oklahoma City at the American Atheist Convention. And we'll kick that off right after this. Hang on. In a connected world where we rent movies online, we get our news online, we buy our Christmas gifts online, we pay our taxes online, why not renew our contact lens prescriptions and purchase new contacts online with Simple Contacts? Simple Contacts is simply the fastest and easiest way to renew a prescription and order contacts. The 5-minute self-guided vision test, it's done with your own computer. You can do it at home or in an office or anywhere. The exam is $20 instead of the over $150 price tag that an appointment might cost you without insurance. Licensed ophthalmologists review every exam carefully, and then Simple Contacts offers great pricing on all the brands of lenses that you're familiar with, including options for astigmatism, multifocal lenses, colored lenses, and more. If you've got a current prescription, you can just upload that information directly to Simple Contacts and then purchase your lenses right away. I actually took the $20 eye test in my home office using my cell phone. Took 5 minutes, not the whole morning stuck in a waiting room or an exam room. And with competitive contact lens prices and free shipping, it really is vision care for the 21st century. So find out why Simple Contacts already has over 3,000 five-star reviews on the App Store. And get $30 off your contact purchase at simplecontacts.com/SethAndrews, promo code Seth Andrews. Now, this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. But if your vision has not changed, Simple Contacts is just the way to go. So check out Simple Contacts and get $30 off at simplecontacts.com/SethAndrews, promo code Seth Andrews.
I want to respect your time, but I would like to hear from a few people. There are two microphones up front. If there is a comment or question that you have, this would be on the radio, the caller segment of our broadcast. While we're waiting, today's high will be 70 degrees, partly sunny skies. Don't forget to be listening tomorrow morning at 7:20 for the secret song of the day. When you hear it, I'm sorry, go ahead. I went back into radio mode. All right. This will be the listener comment and question section. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Aura Elovino.
Welcome. What can I do for you? What's on your mind?
I'm an independent documentary filmmaker. And for my entire adult life, I've made Christian documentaries, conversion stories, this whole thing. 9 months ago, I changed my brand to The Real Storytelling Filmmaker. Last week, I aired a documentary about a Christian minister turned atheist. That was my coming out as well as a non-believer. But this new life is challenging for me. This is my first time experiencing an atheist culture, non-believing culture. So my question to you, if I can flip it, I'm the real storytelling filmmaker. What's the real story of humanity?
Well, talk about a broad question. The answer is 42. I love the fact that this is a culture of Douglas Adams fans. I love it. Well, look, I'm not a great philosopher. My coda, for lack of a better way of saying, when I see a young person coming from a culture where they told me what to think, I always say to them, you know what, make every day a discovery. Sometimes I'll write it when I autograph the book. I'll say, make every day a discovery. And I think when every day is a discovery, we are then allowed to live our lives honestly on our terms. And so we haven't said, this will be my answer. We can make the day about discovering what the answers are. And if, we discover new evidence, we can change our minds. There's a liberation to that. In the larger sense, for me, I have, stepping out of the tribe. Anyone notice when you stepped out of religion and you begin to accept and see people and love people and appreciate for who they are, and the more different they are from you, the more awesome it is? I feel more connected to humanity these days. And so for me, it's all about humanism. It's trying to make the world a better place, trying to embrace the best ideas, apologize for my mistakes. Remember that there's no evidence for a life 2.0, so let's maximize every moment. In fact, the fact that I don't believe in a heaven actually makes this life so much more precious and critical to me that I just want to carpe diem, seize the day, and that would be all I got, for what it's worth, okay? Yes.
Love you, Seth, but you said you were bringing the dogs down today. Where are they at?
Oh, Henry and Rat Dog, I brought them to the convention. I'll have them at the table. If you buy a book or a mug, I will let you... No, never mind. We brought them. Yeah, I brought them. They're 3.5 pounds. Rat Dog's real name is Tootsie. And we were able to drive the highway, both dogs are here. And they were a little overwhelmed. You know, people were all coming at them. But I'll have them back down here later this afternoon. Please come up and, you know, and wink at them. They're just precious. Henry's a rescue. And Tootsie's been with us for about 11 years. And they're both darling. So go ahead.
Hi, Susan Schindler. Have you ever, since you've been on this side, have you ever gone back to any of the social media places like Fox News or all the other places that you mentioned earlier? Have you ever gone to their sites and said, you know, I really used to love you guys, but like I woke up? I mean, have you ever made that announcement to them that they lost you?
I normally won't go to a religious comment section to talk about the fact that I used to think what you guys think, and then I woke up. I don't do that. But I will, if someone makes a false claim, and they often will do it about atheists, I will step in. There was an Oklahoma politician who did a whole post on his Facebook page, a politician elected to represent us all, and he spent the whole post talking about how this is one nation under God, we're a Christian nation, the founders were Christian, and God we trust is on the money, the under God is in our pledge. And so I went on that page and just point by point said, well, actually, this is factually wrong, this was changed, this was not in the original pledge, the coins changed just after the Civil War, it was printed on the money in the 50s during the Red Scare under God, the Constitution's a secular document, just point by point. I just refuted, and I'm like, you know, you're supposed to know the Constitution, right? And the comment was immediately deleted. Other people had gone on and they grabbed it and posted it, and they all reposted and just reposted the same thing over and over and over again. Until I think was it somebody at FFRF or someone else, I think, tapped him on the shoulder and said, actually, I think it's illegal for you to sort of subjectively delete your, elected, the people who you were representing, deleting their comments. And so now I think the comments may still be there. I do not know. But normally it's usually a refutation of a bad idea that's presented. Yes.
Hi, my name's Lindsay.
Hi.
I'm kind of conflicted sometimes about like telling people I'm an atheist. Not in the terms I don't think you should, but like at work, I think you shouldn't talk about your religion. I don't think it's appropriate. But then at the same time, I'm like, I can't wait till they find out I'm an atheist. So my question is, how do you balance telling people you're an atheist when you're safe to with being like, maybe we shouldn't talk about this?
Like, are you safe? I mean, do you feel like there'd be consequences?
No, I don't think so. But I just also don't think it's...
You don't think so?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm safe is what I meant to say.
All right. Well, I'll give you my stock answer for what it's worth. And I don't have all the answers. I'll just give you a perspective. I think as many of us should be out and proud as possible. But what even puts me off is when someone walks in and they are so atheist that you're talking about unrelated things, you know? They're like, how about those cowboys? By the way, do you know that I'm an atheist and I think God's a bunch of crap? Whoa. I like it when it happens more organically. I also like it when people get to know me personally a little bit before we start talking about the deeper things in life, you know. So if someone gets to know me and they're like, hey, Seth's a nice guy, and you know, we really enjoyed time. And then in a week, 2 weeks, they find out after that, oh, wait a minute, he's an atheist. It's harder to put me in a box and walk away. There are some people who cannot because they will... You know, their employers will find a reason to fire them, or their parents will kick them out of the house, or they're worried about their marriage and the custody of the kids, and this stuff's real. And so I never shame anybody for playing a longer game. Only you can determine the cost benefit on that. Don't shame, don't feel guilt or shame or like you're a coward if you don't. If you feel like the I might lose my job, I might get demoted, they might make my life such a hell that at this measure, I'm just not quite there. That's legitimate. I know Silverman and I might disagree a little bit on that. He's more of a, fuck him, tell him you're an atheist. Right? And maybe he's right, I don't know. But I'm a little bit more of a chess player, and don't beat yourself up. I hosted the Thinking Atheist website for 2 years and the radio show for 1 year without showing my face because I was still navigating out of a Christian job. And I was terrified. What happens if at this time in my life I can't pay the house payment, I can't pay the bills, I don't know what else to do with my life, I'm long enough in the tooth to go back to school from square one, what am I going to do? I was up nights, my gut was in a knot, my whole world hadn't been turned upside down, really it had been turned right side up, right? But it took me years. Dan Barker preached in the pulpit for 2 years before he managed to get out, and now he's the president of Freedom From Religion Foundation. If you're playing a longer game, it's cool. But at the end of the day, my hope is that you always have the goal of being able to be who you are at the volume you choose. And if that's atheist, good for you, okay? All right. We'll do these three, and then I'll let you guys stretch and get on with your lunch. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Robert.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. First off, I want to say thank you for introducing me to the movement. I started listening to your podcast a couple of years ago.
Thank you.
Speaking of podcasts, though, what kind of advice do you have for fledgling podcasters?
Well, it's tougher now than it was years ago. You know, now you're a needle in a stack of needles. How many times have you met an activist and they're like, you know, I've got a podcast. And I'm honestly delighted. Coming from corporate radio, FM, AM, FM radio, it used to be the domain of big money. These corporations would go in and they would own broadcasting. And you had to have a license from the FCC and you had to have a shit ton of money. And it was just, you had consultants telling you what to say. And all of a sudden the internet and online internet radio changes everything. It changed everything. So that now, anybody, anywhere, we all have a voice. If we have something to say, we have a conduit to say it. Now, sometimes the problem is, we all have a voice. But my advice to you would be play to your gifts, whatever they are. I mean, there are some people who want to be podcasters, and they may not be gifted communicators verbally, but maybe they're good writers. Try to incorporate stories. People love to go on a journey. Try to relate to people. In radio, we call it a relate. If I do a speech about something that's important to me and none of you care, I've lost you. And try to stay positive. And I don't see as much of that as I would like. I'm not looking at happy, clappy, you know, Willy Wonka positive, that sort of Mentos commercial positive. I'm not talking about faking it. But Jesus Christ, I hear so much negativity out of it. The internet, negativity is the oxygen of the internet. And I just think, you know, I really do think there was an old saying that we learned when I was in the faith, and I actually think it's true for real. It's one of those where broken clock is right twice a day things that happens to be true for real life. People don't give to need as much as they give to vision. People don't buy into, we got a problem, 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 the world sucks. As much as they get into, we have a legitimate problem, but you know what? We are going to band together and we're going to do this and we're going to create this and we're going to come together as human beings and solve the problem. Would you like to be a part of the vision of doing that? Well, hell yeah. If you gave me the choice between A and B, I want to be part of something positive. I want to create, not just destroy. So tell some stories, stay positive, play to your strengths, and best wishes, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, Seth, I'm Steven, and just want to say thanks for bringing us along on your journey. Many
Thank
of us
you.
Like you in 30s go through the same thing, and I remember you talking about the emotions of you come out of it, and you're just angry. And then you go after a few years, and you're just like, okay, I'm settled down now, but now what can I do? And so as you hit this milestone that you're celebrating, first time I've ever met you, and I know I hear this all the time, people call in on all your other shows and things like that, it feels like I know you. And coming here, this is my first conference. I feel like I know a lot of these people that I'm meeting for the first time. So if I could ask a personal question, is as you reach this milestone, what do you want to do next with not only the thinking atheist, but also you, just a fun, want to get to know you more. You hit 50, now what? As like learning a language, you want to fly a plane? Well, I want to know what Seth's thinking. What do I do next?
You all have fun.
I'll do the show probably as long as people care and keep listening. I'm fortunate. I'm not. People ask me what the secret is to the success of the show, and I think there's probably 100 things. But I still love it. And anyone who's an activist kind of knows, like, I need it. I need to do this. But balance is hard for activists. Do you guys know how that goes? I mean, self-care is hard. You know, Natalie will often see me, I'm like, I just need to run up and I need to do an export and I need to hit an edit. It'll be 5 minutes. But she knows it's like 5 football minutes, which means I'll be gone for 2 hours. Is it 5 minutes or are you going to be gone? I'm going to make other plans. I'll see. No, I'll be 5 minutes. And you punish yourself when you're not doing activism related work. And so I've made a pact with myself here to try to, Nat calls it bubblegum for the brain. Everybody needs it, right? Just something to be able to relax and decompress. I game a little bit. Anybody here listen to the October Ghost Stories broadcast? Anybody here? Okay. Well, I hope this doesn't sound bad, but I listen online. I don't have time to listen to a lot of content, but I went and listened to some other Ghost Stories shows. And most of them and all they found was an iron hook. I mean, that's all they do. And there's not any timing or the music's cheesy. And you guys kind of know if you've heard the Ghost Stories thing, I encourage everybody shut the lights off and I try to create an environment, and I'm pretty good at it, where you are in your own head. And if you don't get goosebumps at least twice, I haven't done my job. And so after putting all of that, I mean, I put so much time into the Ghost Stories podcast that I released to everybody, for free. I'm taking some of the best stories and I'm writing 5 brand new ones, and I'm working on a Ghost Stories audiobook for audible.com for release in September of this year. And so it will hopefully open things up to an audience that, you know, the podcast audience is going to be like, psst, you can hear half this shit on the radio for free, folks. But I'm hoping that, you know, other people who are searching that stuff in October will lock onto it. It'll provide a revenue stream for my family. It's different. It's something different to talk about and do. And it's a nice distraction, and it allows the other stuff to continue to stay fresh. You know, I've got that bubble gum for the brain. Beyond that, you know, I've got no complaints. Natalie is she's here with me. She is the joy of my life. She is just a gift to someone like me. It's funny, we disagree on areas of spirituality sometimes, but our value systems are the same. You know, she loves people. She wants to love other people. She wants not to judge and not to tear people down. She wants a better humanity. She wants peace. She wants goodness. And when it comes to me, while so many other people are like, this is not how we raised you, this is not who you are, Natalie says, go be whoever you are, and I support you 100%. And I wouldn't trade her for the world. So.
Hello, my name's Megan.
Hi.
Listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
This is kind of piggybacking on the, you know, family problems, and it's more of a plug and a thank you than a question. One, I would plug the Secular Therapist Project. Anyone who has gone through or is going through that difficult time, I personally found a lot of help with that. And, you know, for the first time in my life after I don't know how many, you know, very like, you just gotta bring yourself back to Jesus therapist that I found. I finally found one that was like, no, who are you? But beyond that, you hear a lot about, you know, blood is thicker than water. I call bullshit, because if they won't at least settle their own issues to keep a healthy relationship with you, then fuck them. Here is your family.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Let me speak to that to close it up. And I know everybody here wants to eat and do your thing, but can you give me 90 seconds? Will you indulge me one last time? Anybody know somebody who would see a group like this and go, y'all are having an atheist church? Because, you know, when you're taught to frame everything in religious language, the idea of us having something in common and coming together to celebrate like interests, well, that's automatically a religious exercise. And what it does is that it tells the church is claiming ownership of something that human beings do naturally. And so I'm always there. You'll see some atheists who've been so damaged, their perceptions are so damaged by the church, and I understand it. But they're like, I left one church. There's no way I'm going to stand and go to another. I'm not groupthink. I'm not going to surrender my individuality. And I always stop them and say, wait a minute. You know, get the people in this room to agree on anything. Right? I mean, you haven't surrendered your individuality, but you come together. We sharpen each other's knives. We challenge each other. We create relationships. And we're more effective in many ways together as a group. And so I'm tired of surrendering to the church what human beings did long before the church, which was to come together to try to effect positive change and to build each other up. You know, I'm struck when you talk about family. You're right. You know, Matt Delahunty's birthday is today. Matt's my brother. I would have never known him. I would have never known he existed. 15 years ago. A woman named Peggy from Wichita is part of the group up there. She's like family to me whenever I see her. Brian Fields from Pennsylvania. He's the one who helped inspire the big effort we're doing tomorrow to help feed homeless people, to feed needy people. I look all around. You know, Yvette D'Entremont, the Psy Babe, just a force of nature. Well, I would have probably never even known Yvette existed. I would have never known Mandisa Thomas, who I expect a hug from every time I see her, everywhere I go, because she's my family. And I think, you know, you're right. Sometimes whenever they make it a requirement, when they make it impossible for you to live without the injection of negativity, blood or no blood, you have every right to draw a line, draw a boundary in your own circle and decide whether or not you will allow that negativity over your threshold, and you can tell them. We can agree to disagree on this and we can still be family, but if you continue, I have no choice. And then at that moment, that tragic moment, family becomes again the family you choose. You know what that's like, and in many ways I know what that's like, and honestly, I'm glad to have you. You all are the family I choose. Thank you.
Follow The Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on The Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.